Welcome to Just a Taste. I'm Scott Curry with Chef's Best. We gather to talk about the trends in marketing, retail, and production in food and beverage that are shaping the industry. We're joined today by entrepreneurs Phil Wong and Dave Betts. Phil and Dave are co-founders of Misfit Foods. For those that don't know, Misfit Foods, as we'll learn, is a wildly innovative company that produces veggies for sausage lovers and sausage for veggie lovers. Prior to Misfit, Dave was business development manager for One Acre Fund, a nonprofit organization that supplies smallholder farmers in East Africa with asset-based financing and agricultural training services to reduce hunger and poverty. He also is a project manager for Construction for Change, and a field engineer for Schlumberger. Before Misfit, Phil was director of business development for Hilltop Consultants, where he worked with the likes of Greenpeace, LearnLead, and the Global Alliance for Improved Nutrition. Phil and Dave, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having us, Scott.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. Excited to be here.
So this is exciting. I have a very, very unique food that I want to dig into and learn about how it's produced, the care that you're taking, and kind of what you see as the market as well for that unique product. But you join a long list of entrepreneurs we've had on the podcast that have had non-food and beverage related backgrounds. We've had no shortage of folks that are successful in business, but also many that have worked with nonprofits, NGOs, where perhaps they were finding a calling, but had some sort of awakening at that point as well. But as I understand, this is for both of you really your first spirited entry into entrepreneurship within food and beverage. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right for both of us. And you're exactly on point when you say spirited entry. I'm not sure that there's another way to do it. And it's been a fun journey so far.
We'll get into that journey, and I'll wager that it's been more challenging but exciting than you ever imagined. So gentlemen, yeah. let's go back as far as you want. How did you two get acquainted and end up making, what I understand here are 50% veggie and 50% chicken sausages with the serious mission to provide product, while building towards a more sustainable and humane future for our planet. I understand, as is often the case, you've had a few pivots along. Perhaps, Phil, do you want to share the story of how you two got acquainted and, what's kind of brought you here today? And Dave, you can jump in as well.
Yeah, sure thing. So, I mean, Scott, you mentioned, us not having a background in food. And I think as so often is the case for other people working in food, we at least have a basis as experience. I think that's what makes food, so accessible in many ways. Like, we've been consumers of food our entire lives. And, as an entrepreneur, you always want to be designing for your consumer. So we certainly have that lean back on. And I think in a lot of ways, our experiences as consumers is kind of what got us to this point. At Misfit, we like to say that we're about less meat and more veggies. And I think between the two of us, Dave and I have that pretty well covered. Because, when I was in college, I realized that food's just not about what we're putting in our bodies, but also about how we're treating our planet, what we're putting into our soil, into our water, into our air. And I actually started eating less meat as a result of that because meat has such an outsized impact on the planet. And I tried even going vegetarian, but quickly realized that, hey, I'd grown up eating all of these foods that I really loved, and it was hard to kind of go cold turkey, so to speak. So that's kind of the less meat side of things. And then Dave pretty much has the more veggie side of things covered. I think he's been looking to add more veggies, as so many other people are, to his diet for a long time. But, for convenience reasons, whether it's like him being in the oil field or traveling around smallholder farms in East Africa, it's just not always easy to do that. And so given the choice, 10 times out of 10, Dave would choose the more veggie option. But, there just wasn't really that on shelves in the grocery store. And so, we realized that like we weren't the only ones feeling this way. 66% of Americans have tried to eat less meat in the last 3 years, but only 9% of those people tried to go vegetarian. So there's this huge swath of people who want to eat less meat, but just aren't really ready to give it up entirely. And that was really the genesis for this idea that we could create products that, you know, combine the best of both meat and veggies.
And how did you two become acquainted? How did it, have you known each other for decades or were you introduced?
Yeah, good question. I mean, Phil and I actually were introduced through a mutual friend, someone that Phil became friends with through his alumni network at Georgetown, and then who I worked with at One Acre Fund. So really kind of our mutual connection and introduction was through someone also like-minded like us, who's just kind of focused on impact and how we can, you know, really like have the most impact in our professional lives. And so actually now, gosh, a year and a half ago about, we were introduced via just over email. Phil was spending more time in New York, and I was here in New York. And just a mutual friend said, hey, you guys should connect. You guys would be friends, but also are doing interesting things and are entrepreneurial. So actually, we kind of connected pretty easily and then became running buddies for a few months. So kind of doing laps around Prospect Park here in Brooklyn. And then that's when we decided to start working together.
Awesome. So a lot of, you know, new food products that enter the market, you know, the founders at their Nexus will have been dabbling at home. Maybe they're, you know, a professional chef or an amateur chef, which is probably why there's so many cookies, brownies, you know, and new twists on, you know, things that are easy to create at home, your energy bar type things. Yet I would say very few people in the public know how to make sausage, right? I think there's a joke in there too about not knowing how to make it. So given that you didn't come from the food industry, I'm sensing that, you know, neither of you were, you know, lifelong passionate culinary, you know, hobbyists in the kitchen all the time tinkering. How did you get there to this product? Did you say perhaps in the middle of something and then you brainstormed off that, or how did it happen? I'm curious how that aha moment of, you know what we could do is, what if we created a sausage, which is encapsulated? Well, it means we could fill it with anything and we put what we want in there. How did it come about?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, I think in a lot of ways, our product development process has been really organic. And maybe that's because of the fact that neither Dave nor I is a trained chef. But I think so often, you know, in the food scene, the kind of MO for product development is a company hunkering down in a lab or a kitchen and, you know, toiling away for a year on end before they come up with this really amazing product they bring to the world. And for us, that process was really inverted in a lot of ways. So when we realized that there was this gap in the market, you know, there were all meat products, there were no meat products, but there's really nothing in between. And that didn't match up with how we were eating and how we knew a lot of other people were eating, which is to say as omnivores. We said, hey, can we make a product and get feedback from the folks in our community and see if there's something here? So we actually partnered up with a friend of a friend who has a farm down in Mississippi to make our very first batch of sausages, and took that to kind of this natural grocer in DC called Glenn's, really awesome place for anyone who lives in DC or visits there. And we just put our product on shelves for a weekend and wanted to see if anyone would gravitate to it. And we actually sold more sausages in that weekend than any other sausage brand had sold in that entire month. And wow. So from there, we said to ourselves, hey, like there's actually something here. And it's not just because we think we have a great idea. It's actually because consumers, you know, want to buy and eat this product. and really the rest has been history.
Wow. So, you know, no reason for $3 million worth of research. Phil, go ahead.
Yeah. I think one other thing I want to add to that, I mean, is like Phil and I and Misfit and everyone who works with us, we really are community entrepreneurs. So we approach entrepreneurism with our entire community. And so when we set out in our sort of product development phase, we really reached out to everyone, you know, whether that be friends, family, industry peers, you know, people who we'd worked with in the past, maybe not food and beverage. And we really invited them to join us. And so we did a lot of activities that, you know, didn't start with sausage or a blended, you know, half meat, half chicken, or sorry, half chicken, half vegetable. And we did a lot of activities that were like going shopping with people, you know, journaling about what you're eating and when, what you're interested in, you know, needs not being met, just, you know, broadly speaking, a lot of kind of human-centered design activities. And we sort of brought that group and expanded it along the journey of developing our product. And so it really is kind of an outcome from not just, you know, Phil and I, but you know, the wider community that, you know, we've surrounded ourselves with throughout the years. And so, yeah, I think that is also sort of a different approach than a lot of, you know, food and bev companies that really operate, you know, with trade secrets and you know, keep that in a lab or behind closed doors. It was really kind of more open than traditional process. And I think, you know, we're quite a bit stronger because of that.
Just a couple guys figuring it out and finding success. Some brains, some creativity along the way, and I'm sure some help with some friend from a lot of friends. Yeah. Go ahead and describe the product, Dave. You know, there's obvious nutritional and it's called global benefits that you're, you know, chasing with it as well. But go ahead and describe the product and the product line.
Yeah, really, you know, the product that we developed is a vibrant line of blended chicken and vegetable sausages. And so what that is comprised of is 50%, you know, wholesome veggies and spices and 50% humanely raised chicken. And so, you know, that right there is a very innovative product. Sort of what draws people and myself included to a product like this is really the more vegetables, just putting that out front. Because, you know, people are really desiring that, incorporating a lot of different and new and exciting flavors, whether that be, you know, our kale and chicken chimichurri sausage or our sweet potato and chicken andouille sausage. And then our last SKU is our squash and chicken sweet Italian style sausage. And so bringing a lot of exciting flavors. As you noted, there are nutritional sort of benefits to eating more vegetables. You know, for us, you can see less sodium, less cholesterol than sort of the typical chicken sausage. And so really, you know, it just brings a lot more excitement to the category, both in terms of color, flavor, nutritional, and just, you know, adding more and kind of rebalancing your meal towards more vegetables and less meat.
Yeah, as I said, rebalancing, I think that's the key. And you shared a number earlier, and it was, I think, 66%. So two-thirds of Americans are trying to eat less meat, which is a wild number. I mean, it's pretty much impossible to get two-thirds of Americans agree on anything these days. yet I believe that number because as a, you know, pretty hearty carnivore myself, I, same time, you know, I've getting a little older, need to watch things, sodium, cholesterol, everything else. Yet, you know, I know myself, I need to have some protein in the morning. You know, even if it's a strip of bacon, it's just, I've got to have something, you know, to go. So I think for adults, it's pretty clear, right? We're all trying to, you know, eat smarter. Get additional servings of veggies in there yet. I'm not ready to cut meat out of my diet. Have you had any experiences related to kids? Because, you know, the old adage of kids eat your veggies and trying to get your kids to eat more veggies. Is this a backdoor way to that? I have to admit, I haven't tried the product myself, so I don't know if it's overly spicy or anything like that. But have you tested that or received any feedback that this is a, you know, but my kids eat veggies, but we also try to sneak things in there. We do the cauliflower rice and stuff like that. They're pretty good. I'm hard on them about enough things in life. Yet the idea of, you know, sneaking in some sweet potato or, you know, some kale is appealing. Is that a market that you're after, or are you more after that conscious adult, like you mentioned, that almost 2/3 of Americans, which is probably an adult survey, that say, hey, I've got to just be a little smarter here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny you say that, Scott, because we actually have seen a ton of resonance with kids. And, you know, we do quite a few, you know, samplings, demos at Fairway, because we're in, you know, all 14 Fairway stores. And I can't tell you how many times there are parents and kids that walk by. The parent is too busy to stop the sample, and the kid really wants to try the product, and they're trying it and really loves it. And so, you know, it's funny because neither Dave nor I is a parent, and yet I think what we found is that, yes, like for parents with kids, they really do want to feed their kids veggies, and sometimes have had trouble finding the right way to deliver those veggies in a way that the child likes. And so, you know, these products, vibrant as they are, flavorful as they are, have had, yeah, a lot of appeal with kids. Something that we're certainly trying to lean a bit more into. And I think too, like from an impact perspective, right, you talk about like, you know, how we've developed habits around eating as adults, like that starts in childhood. And so I think if we can get this next generation of eaters on board with a, you know, more balanced diet or veggie forward diet, then that's a huge win for the planet as well.
So about the current state of the business now, are you on the shelves? Let me rephrase that question. What shelves are you on?
Yeah, Dave, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, we launched with two retail partners. One is Foodkick. It's the on-demand service. Service of Fresh Direct in New York. And so again, by on demand, meaning you can go online, and order groceries and it can be delivered in a couple of hours. So an amazing service. And then we also launched with Fairway Markets, also here in the greater New York City area, as Phil mentioned already. They've both been amazing. We wanted to launch with both an online platform and physical retail, like on the shelf, and just to, you know, have that full experience and learn very quickly. And so those were our two launch partners. We've been the last, since launch, the last couple of months, just very focused on succeeding in those two and proving out that product market fit that Phil talked about as we're talking and doing a lot of demos with customers.
Awesome. I want to pick your brain a little bit. Whenever we have entrepreneurs on, there's always something that can be learned. So yeah. I want to ask you each, let's go with two questions. So Phil, you're on the hot seat first. So two questions, and they're related, but suspect that you can find different anecdotes. What is the most surprising thing or moment that you have encountered? At what moment did you say, oh my gosh, I didn't think about this, did not realize we had to think about that. So what's the most surprising? And then what's so far the biggest lesson that you have learned?
Yeah. Geez, Scott really put me on the hot seat here. I think in terms of what I've learned, the biggest lesson has really just been asking for help. I think so, you know, the mold for entrepreneurship is, and the narrative has like so often been, hey, these two guys sitting in the garage disrupting the world with their idea. And I just think I don't know very many entrepreneurs who have the luxury of doing that. And for us, you know, we come into this business, as you pointed out, without any experience in food. And so, you know, what success we've had in the past and the present and the future is all premised on having really talented folks in our corner. And I think it's almost a survival tactic to be able to ask for help. And it's something that has just been time and time again, you know, proven to be the biggest lesson. And then I think the biggest surprise, I think for me, the biggest surprise has been, I think, how receptive the community has been kind of on the production side of things to this product. And I think an interesting feature of our product, right, is like there's been a lot of conversation around plant-based meats and these sorts of things. You know, so products that are 100% vegetarian. And I think in that conversation, a lot of times the producers of meat and the plants that are producing value-added meat products get left out. And with our product, there's an opportunity for, you know, these chicken producers, these plants that are making sausages, to be involved in like the conversation around, you know, the future of protein consumption and meat consumption. And so, yeah, we've really had a warm welcome from some of our partners in that realm. And that's been a really pleasant surprise.
Awesome. Dave, you've had a few minutes. What's your biggest surprise that you've experienced that you just couldn't have imagined? And what's, not just what's the biggest lesson, you could also reframe that as, you know, what would you tell someone that's starting out right now?
Yeah, definitely got a leg up on Phil having the time to think. But yeah, in terms of biggest lesson, I'll start there first, or what I would tell people. I mean, this is something I feel like I've learned time and time again, and whatever business or professional opportunity or just in life in general, have learned that nothing replaces like being in the field and really being like boots on the ground, whether that's doing demos with our, you know, first prototype, you know, for people and having them experience our product and learning from, you know, consumers to, visiting our production facilities and working with partners, you know, again, on the ground. I just feel like there's nothing that really replaces some of those moments that you spend with people or your community or even with your product and equipment and all of those things. Like, you just can't replace that being behind a computer screen or locked away and separate. And so, yeah, I just have found that throughout my career, but definitely as we went through product development and are now starting to interact, you know, in retail with consumers, that you just have to be in the field, constantly learning, talking about your product, and really listening to people, give you their thoughts. And then surprising, maybe like kind of dovetails with that, just I'm always surprised at how passionate, and maybe this just shouldn't be surprising, but even at, you know, a supermarket where you're doing a demo, I'm always just surprised at how giving people are with their time and their thoughts and really just energy to support you, you know, when you're putting yourself out there. And, you know, every demo I go to, every Fairway market I'm in, the community that shops there, you know, supports us and, you know, gives us like rich thought and just really wants to connect with you. And I've seen that, yeah, again, from just customers, but seen that from, you know, on the more back end side, like buyers, and yeah, just other peers in the community. People are just very giving. And obviously that ties into Phil's lesson of asking for help and being receptive to that. But yeah, I think people are just generally more giving than I'd expect.
Well, both of you are certainly bringing a positive forward-looking approach to the business, and it sounds like it's starting to pay off. Let's talk about how folks can connect with you. You're at misfitfoods.com. By the way, how did you come up with Misfit? You both misfits?
We're certainly misfits in food and in life. Yeah, really quickly, I think there are kind of two senses to misfit. One is that, you know, there are 100% meat products, there are 0% meat products, and we're a little bit misfit in between. Mm-hmm. And then I think also if you go to a grocery store and look at, you know, a sausage shelf, pretty much everything's the same color and fairly homogenous. And so, you know, the vibrancy of our product and the differentiation that our veggies are bringing to the table is another kind of visual and visceral way in which we're misfit.
Awesome. So it's misfitfoods.com. And I think folks can connect with you on social media here at Misfit Food. So that's singular. And it looks like is it Misfit Foods? Again, plural there on Instagram. Anything else you want to add about how folks can connect with you?
One quick plug would be on misfitfoods.com. You can actually sign up to be a part of what we call the Odd Squad. It's that group that I talked about that has been along the product development journey and really our growth journey for the past year or so. And so, you can sign up there. We keep, you know, people on the inside. We ask for help often, and we love it when people participate. So you can sign up on our website.
Awesome. We'll encourage folks to do that. So appreciate your time. I'm curious though. So it's about 3:30, I think, in New York where you are. You're entrepreneurs. It's Wednesday. We're about to hang up. What are you going to go do as an entrepreneur?
I can go first. I'm about to jump on another call. I feel like Wednesdays can kind of be that sweet spot for connecting with others where people have had time to prepare and have time to follow up. So my immediate task is jumping on another phone call.
And while Dave's off working, I'm going to go downstairs and do some dishes. Cause I think the nice thing about entrepreneurship is that, you know, you have like about 0% of control of your time half the time, but then the other half, you have a ton of flexibility, which is something that I certainly really cherish. So I'm going to go take advantage of that.
Awesome. All right, fellas. Well, best of luck. You both, like I said, have a great forward-looking approach to your business and in the community that you're involved in, and the global one as well. And wish you best of luck along the way, and we'll keep an eye out for you as I'm sure you will be rolling out across retail nationwide in pretty short order here. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you for joining us on Just a Taste, a Chef's Best production. Join us again next time as we talk to more experts in marketing, retail, and production in the food and beverage industry. You can always visit us at chefsbest.com to learn more.